Hello, everyone. I'm Susan Nash, AAPG. Delighted to be here and to welcome you to week 16, Battery Tech and Critical Minerals. We have a wonderful lineup today. We have Paul Anthony Thomas of Custom Private Equity, and he's going to talk to us about investing in oil and gas and also investing in critical minerals, lithium being one. So welcome, Paul. And if you'd like to share your screen, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Susan. I appreciate being here this evening, and I'm going to be a little redundant in what Edith talked about, but I'm also going to talk about a whole lot of other critical minerals. As we, as the world changes and we pivot away from oil and gas, a lot of us don't want to do that, and I'm particularly one of those people. I'm still out buying oil and gas production today. I think oil and gas here is here for another 20 years at least. Our actual projection, if we do a mass balance on it, is we think that oil and gas will make up about anywhere from 5 to 10% of the energy stream in 2070. And that's just my view, the view that we've done over some research we've done over the last two decades. And so that's kind of what we look at. But we are phasing out of oil and gas. And I know a lot of people on the call don't want to hear that, but it is true. And if you don't believe it, just kind of watch the statistics and you'll certainly understand that. So I just shared my screen, and we're going to talk about the list of what they call critical minerals in the United States. A few years ago, the government decided they needed to make a list of minerals that were critical to the economy in the United States, and they call them critical non-fuel minerals. And I'm going to talk about the kind of the origins of these and where they're located. Edith talked about where lithium and cobalt and those kind of things, those are both on the list, are located. But I'm going to talk about some of the other minerals, and we're going to kind of go through this right quick. I've got a little bit to share. So my periodic table is more of an economic periodic table than Edith's was. The red squares on this periodic table are highly critical minerals. They're things that are very much in demand or going to be in demand, and they're critical to the infrastructure of the globe pretty much. The ones that are in tan are in the exploration mode. We consider those to be things where you can find opportunity by going out and finding the resource. Production resources and exploration of the blue squares, manganese, iron, cobalt is one of the ones that Edith talked about a minute ago. Nothing's better than a really nice little cobalt mine if you want to make some money out of the world. Lithium is also a really good commodity to go look for and go try to find. Then we have in the green squares, we have resource plays that are going on. So these critical minerals, they all basically come from host metals. And there's a list of 10 host metals there, including aluminum and tin and iron. So if you want to find gold, for instance, you would go and find, or if you want to find silver, you would go and try to find where there's quite a bit of gold, and there's going to be silver associated with that. Platinum's the same way. You're going to go find palladium where you find platinum. So those are the host metals, and you're going to find the other critical metals off surrounding those, and as a byproduct of the processing of them. Copper in particular throws off a lot of these critical minerals. So this map is a very interesting map, and I'll be able to provide these or give these slides to anyone that wants to see them. I just have amassed them over the last couple of years and been working through this. But these are countries that actually supply the United States with different chemical compounds and different chemical elements. And the ones in dark red are the ones that supply from 19 to 25 of the critical, more than 50% of our critical needs. There are a lot of minerals, and we'll see this on the next chart. Everything that's in the solid blue lines there, they all come from other countries. So cesium, fluorspar, graphite, which is one that Edith mentioned a minute ago, they all come from other countries. Although there are graphite mines in the U.S., there are no active graphite mines in the U.S. as far as I know. Manganese is another example. China is the number one supplier, the only supplier of rubidium. I've got these listed out where you can see them. Zinc, we get about 85% of our zinc from Canada, Mexico, Peru, and Australia. And we're going to look at these maps, and I'll be glad to give these to anyone. It's very interesting to look through this stuff. We get about half of our lithium from other countries down there. We see that Chile, Argentina, and China is the number one producer. So here's aluminum. Although aluminum's kind of trying to be phased out, it has a lot more uses than most other metals. But China is the number one producer of aluminum in today's world, and it sells aluminum sells for 75 to 65 cents a pound. So whenever we start seeing metals and elements that are priced out in pounds and ounces and grams and kilograms, we start thinking that there's probably going to be some opportunity around those. There is opportunity today. Aluminum is the number one recycled metal in the around the globe, and it's extremely valuable actually in today's world. Nothing's nicer than a nice bauxite mine. So antimony is the next one, priced about $5 a kilogram. Anytime we start talking about pricing things in kilograms, we're going to look for some opportunity there. Antimony is used in batteries, and they use it as flame retardants. The next one's arsenic. Unfortunately, arsenic is considered to be a contaminant in today's world. It is a critical mineral. We do need it. But anytime you talk to virtually anybody about arsenic, they're going to talk about the contamination side of the coin. And that's what this map is all about. This is what the estimation of groundwater contamination by arsenic. Arsenic is a very, it's a soluble type chemical, and it's located in lots of different places. So this is what groundwater contamination is expected to look like around the globe from arsenic. Barite is tied to the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry is the prime user of barite, and they use it in oil and gas drilling, as everybody in the audience knows. Most of the barite comes from the U.S., China, India, and Morocco. It's kind of interesting. You can see in this barite production chart, it actually tracks the world rig count. That's what this chart is here, the figure one. So, barite sells for $1.25 a metric ton. So, there's nothing nicer than a nice barite mine, but if you have to price things at $1.25 for 2,200 pounds, that's you got to do a lot of work to get there, to get to any kind of real profits. Well, the interesting thing about it, barite is used in medical facilities, and it absorbs X-rays and gamma rays, which is always a very interesting thing. So there's some high uses in the medical world. This is barite mines around the globe. But you see there's quite a lot of barite mining in North America, and barite going actually all around the world. So in China's got a lot of it. Beryllium is a very interesting thing. We see a lot of opportunity in beryllium. And then one of the main reasons is that it's present in a lot of places, and it sells for $660 a kilogram. That's very interesting. It's mined in Utah. It's also mined in China. Go out in the world and find yourself a nice beryllium metal mine, and you're going to be a wealthy guy. That's all I got to say. It's kind of like hunting elephants. We used to hunt elephants when I was younger, and this is going out and trying to find beryllium, and finding productive beryllium would be an elephant hunt. It would be a lot of fun for a geologist. One of the things I like about the critical mineral field is that if you want to travel around the world, this is a great way to do it, because these minerals are located on every continent, almost every continent except Antarctica and the Arctic. Bismuth is another one, sells for $3.40 a pound, mostly made in China, imported from China. China's the number one producer, used in medical research and atomic research. Bismuth is a pretty important mineral for the atomic world, which we're coming into. Cesium and rubidium, the same way. This is an interesting map. This is a map of contamination around the world for cesium, and it's always viewed as, since it's radioactive, it's viewed as a contaminant for sure. And you see in North America, up in Canada, and around the contamination around Chernobyl, and then the 83 over there in Japan is another kind of high number for this. So they've had releases of cesium in those areas. But cesium bromides and the carbonates, they sell for $101, $110, $118. I mean, it's a pretty valuable commodity. There was one company in 2019 sold 1 gram of cesium for $63. That was a kind of a record, but it's a very valuable mineral. Chromium, highly recycled. South Africa is the number one producer of chromium. India, number two, and number three is in Central Asia. Most of the chromium in the world comes from South Africa. There's a good chromium and a bad chromium. And when I would work for the EPA back in the 90s, we always had a battle with chromium being used as a algaecide. It's actually a really hard chemical to clean up. But it is a very major thing, and we have to have it for our health. Your body has chromium in it. So the good kind of chromium is a very important metal. Cobalt, same way. It's used, Edith was talking about it earlier. It's very critically important in the lithium world. I do think that we're going to phase over the next 50 years, we're going to phase out of the lithium battery phase, and we're going to phase into some sort of glass type batteries. They're working on that technology today, but I think it's 10, maybe 15 years in the future. There's a lot of people out there that disagree with that, but that's what I think. In March of 19, the price of the cobalt was about $17 a pound. We'd like to have a good cobalt mine under our belt if we could find one. Fluorspar is used for hydrofluoric acid. They use it in gasoline, aluminum, welding rods. China's the number one producer of fluorspar. Mexico produces quite a lot as well. The United States doesn't produce any. We import 100% of that. Sells for anywhere from $250 to $405 a metric ton for acid grade. Very interesting chemical. There's a picture of it. We actually closed the last fluorspar mine in North America in 1995, but that doesn't mean there's not some more to be found. Gallium is a very interesting chemical, very interesting mineral. It's mined in France, the highest grade, sells for $400 and $500 a kilogram. Low-grade stuff sells for $150 a kilogram. This is where gallium is found around the globe. Not all these things are mines, but it's amazing how much of it's found in Europe, in the mountains of Europe. Germanium is another one. We see tremendous opportunities in germanium. Year-end price for germanium was $1,150 a kilogram in 2000. World germanium consumption has been greater than primary production in recent years. We see an opportunity here for people if they want to go out and try to find some tailings to mine or recover or do some recovery on this. Increased recycling has provided adequate supplies, but the supplies are running low of this product. Graphite, this is one that Edith was talking about earlier. Synthetic graphite, which is a different form of carbon, can sell for $20,000 a metric ton. That's an incredible, incredible price. But amorphous, $430 a ton. Demand is, as lithium batteries grow, demand for this product is going to go through the roof. And you saw on Edith's slide a minute ago that it's scheduled to increase by tenfold over the next 10 years or so. It's used, the interesting thing about graphite, it has metal characteristics and characteristics of a non-metal. So that's a very interesting, we see a boom coming in that product, and there's a lot of it around. This is graphite mines. She showed you a map of this, graphite deposits and mines around the world. Helium, I've had a couple of helium deals come in front of me in the last couple of years where they're recovering helium from natural gas. The natural gas in the Texas Panhandle is extremely high in helium concentrates. But if you had a really great helium source, you could actually create a tremendous amount of wealth in a hurry. Current law, for instance, is going to require, they're going to change this law, I think, but it requires that the U.S. government, who's controlled the helium market for a number of decades now, they're going to actually require that they sell all the helium assets that they own. So that, we see that as an opportunity. We're going to try to do something about that. We see a boom in this marketplace. If you think natural gas is cheap, helium's not cheap. 2020 price is $210 an MCF. If you could find some really nice helium deposits, and there are helium, almost pure helium deposits around the globe. So it's not that they can't be found. Here's helium maps. Russia's a, a primary producer. The United States has the largest helium resources to date, but that's not to say that there aren't other helium deposits around the globe. We see a boom in this market if somebody wants to tackle that. Indium is an interesting thing. Average price for indium is $160 a kilogram. Indium is used in LCD screens. So the key words that we look for whenever we try to find opportunity in these things is we look for anything that talks about cell phones or liquid crystal displays, anything that talks about solar period, anything that has the word circuit breakers or fuel cells in it. Any the term fuel cells is actually going to create a tremendous demand for products in the future. Indium comes as a byproduct of zinc ore. Lithium, we see that as an exploration boom. Lithium has a price in the $13,000 a metric ton range right now. Lithium, I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but you can see from this demand chart that the demand for lithium is scheduled to go up, and I don't think it's going to see a break in the demand for the next 10 to 15 years for sure. This is lithium around the world, different supply and demand. We're not going to talk about that. Magnesium is an interesting thing. $235 a pound. If you want to try to find a nice magnesium deposit, magnesium is actually included in seawater as a component of seawater, but dolomites, magnesites, brucites, olivine, they're all magnesium rich, and you can go in and mine those. Those are the types of commercial deposits you're going to find. The interesting thing about magnesium is there's one domestic producer in North America, in the United States, not North America, but in the United States. And magnesium is very important to the production of titanium. And titanium is an incredibly important metal for our economy. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Magnesium is highly recyclable, and we see a great opportunity in that marketplace. Manganese is very recyclable. $6 a metric ton, though. So you're going to have to find a lot of manganese to make it worth your time. Nobidium, $160 a kilogram. Most of it comes from Brazil. So a lot of it comes from Canada. Some of it comes from Canada. It's recyclable. We see an opportunity in this marketplace. Platinum, groups of metals. We see iridium, palladium, platinum, rhodium. Prices from $7,500 an ounce to $1,700 an ounce for palladium. It's located around several different places around the world. Australia, North America has some of it. Not a bad practice to try to go out and find some of this as well. Potash, big mines in potash. North America, Canada's number one producer of potash. Used in fertilizers, potash has potassium in it. It's actually critical for fertilizers, critical for the human race. Good potash mine can make you a lot of money. Rare earth elements, you see a map there that shows where they're located all around the world, from $2 a kilogram to $510 a kilogram. They're hard to come by, but you can find them. And if you want to go try to find them, there's jobs out there where you can use your geology expertise and you can work for companies and go mine this stuff and go get it out of the ground. Rhenium, $1,300 a kilogram. We see a lot of opportunity there. It's used for semiconductors. It's used in spectrographs, jet engines. They make super alloys out of it. It's also used in gas, unleaded gasoline. Scandium, big market for scandium. Found in Iowa, Arizona, Illinois, and the major producer is China. Selenium, $50 a kilogram. Russia is a major provider. Canada is a major provider. Used in tires, plumbing fixtures. Selenium is a byproduct of copper refining. Strontium, very interesting metal. Sells for $6 a kilogram in 2020. Mined in Mexico, Germany, and China. You'll find yourself a strontium mine. You'll do well with that. Tantalum, interesting. It's mined with niobium. And it mostly comes from Brazil. You see a price chart down here in the left. Sells for about $150 a metric ton. Actually, $1,500 a metric ton, $190 a kilogram in 2020. Pretty high-priced product. Most of it comes from China. A lot of it comes from China. Most of it comes from Brazil. The major producer, as Edith said earlier, is in the Congo. Tellurium, very interesting, $60 a kilogram, located all around the globe. not a lot in South America, but it is a pretty interesting product to go find. It's used in steel making, used in solar cells. That's a key word there. And we found a lot of opportunity there. Tin, I've had a couple of tin deals presented to me in the last year or so. Used in containers, highly recyclable, one of the second most recycled metal around. You find it in steel. We find tremendous opportunities in the tin market. The $8 a pound, and actually it's priced in a very high priced marketplace. So it's $16,000 a ton kind of thing. Titanium, very valuable. We see a lot of opportunity there. Sells for $10 a kilogram for the sponge metal. $2,600 a metric ton for the dioxide product. Comes in several different mineral compounds. Highly recyclable. Very important to our very important to the economy. 2020 price for tungsten is very, very important. $275 a metric ton, and you see a lot of tungsten mines and a lot of tungsten deposits around the globe. Highly recyclable. We see some opportunity in this. Uranium. Know several families who've actually made their wealth off uranium, and it was a lot of times by accident. They happened to own the land the uranium was on. So we have mines in Wyoming, Nebraska, and Texas. Here's a map of the North America uranium mines. Here's a map of global uranium deposits. Uranium, I don't know that I would want to own uranium, although the demand for it is pretty strong. Vanadium, another interesting thing. Most of it comes from China. A lot of it comes from Russia, South Africa. There's one little spot in the United States, North America, where they find vanadium. It's used in titanium. It's part of titanium alloys, used in automobiles, axles. It makes alloy metals, hard metals. Zirconium is very interesting. Cubic zirconium is a diamond type product, but they use it for high temperature ceramics, gemstones, and nuclear fuel cladding. So anything you find that has the word nuclear in it, it's going to have some demand over the next 50 years. We don't really like radioactive type stuff, but it is a naturally occurring mineral, and you notice that there isn't any of it in North or South America. So zirconium is a very interesting thing. And if you want to go try to mine some of this, you're going to have to go overseas, go to Africa, or going down in Australia. That's about all I have. I do have some research that I can give to people, and if they'd like to email me, here's my email, so paul@ledgerpetroleum.com, and I'll be glad to send you my research. There's nothing formal about it. It's not a book or anything. It's just research I've done over the last few years. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. That's great.
Susan, my final thought is this is a tremendously dynamic time in the critical minerals world, and people need to be out there working on it as hard as they can, because it's an exciting time because growth. There's a tremendous amount of growth in the marketplace, tremendous amount. Even though oil and gas is kind of on its fanny right now, there's a tremendous amount of growth in other minerals. And as a geologist, other minerals ought to interest you just as much as oil and gas do. So
that's a wonderful final closing thought. So on that,
if you want information about today's topic, you can go to customprivateequity.com. There are a number of resources there, as well as multiple ways to contact Paul. Once again, that URL is customprivateequity.com.